Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayh. Wa na'udzu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina. Wa na'udzu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina. Wa na'udzu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina. Man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu wa man yudlilhu fala hadiya lahu. Wa nashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu. Wa nashhadu anna sayyidana wa maulana Muhammadan 'abduhu wa rasuluhu. Sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa baraka wa sallama tasliman kathiran kathira. Amma ba'du fa'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Qul ya ibadiyalladhina asrafu ala anfusihim la taqnatu min rahmatillah. Innallaha yaghfirudh dhunuba jami'a. وقال الله تبارك وتعالى هن لباس لكم وأنتم لباس لهن سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. My respected ulama ikram, respected elders and brothers, on the one hand, tonight will inshallah be the 15th of Shaban. And on the other hand, a nikah is going to take place. So I thought, let us marry the two and have a happy marriage inshallah between the two aspects of our deen. The happiness of this nikah and also at the same time, some aspects pertaining to Shabi Qadr inshallah. Hazrat Mawlana Naeem Sahab will give you the details about it. But between now and then, there is a preparation that we have to make, and inshallah we'll discuss that. Amongst the tabi'in, there was one very great tabi'i, Hazrat Hassan Basri, rahmatullah alayhi. We cannot go into the details, but this much may suffice for us, that he grew up in the house of one of our mothers, one of the wives of our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hazrat Salama radiallahu ta'ala anha. And that is why some of the ulama used to say that when we hear his speech is very close to the speech of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Before we go to that, just one small little lesson in English. We all have and we all know about the degree of comparison, good, better, best, big, bigger, biggest. So amongst the things that he spoke about that is really thought-provoking was this degree of comparison that he brought about insofar as our realities, our goals and objectives, and that which is the demands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, one is wajib, one day is a compulsion, and in Arabic, the other is awjab. One is a compulsion, one is a compulsory act, and the other is even a greater compulsory act. What is wajib for us, and more importantly on occasions like this, is to continuously make tawbah, continuously seek forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ibn Rajab Hanbali rahmatullah alayhi has spoken about one person that in the latter part of his life, this person sat down keeping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in front of him, and then thereafter he enumerated his sins, his disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Friends, wallah, if we have to enlist our sins and our gunas from Fajr to now, what a list. What a list it will be. But this person manages to list keeping Allah in front of him, being brutally and absolutely honest to himself, he enlisted 36 gunas, 36 sins in his life. And what does he do? For each one of those 36 sins, he makes istighfar and seeks forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala 100,000 times. You do the multiplication. Thereafter, for each of those 36 sins, he read 1,000 rakats of salat, of namaz. And in each one of those rakats, he read one full Quran. On the one hand, 36 sins. On the other hand, being honest. And this takes us to another aspect actually. And that is, how much do I introspect? How much do I look into the kinds of sins that I commit? I speak to my brother. Did I hurt his feelings? How did I speak to him? Did I make him happy? I speak to my wife. I speak to my parents. I speak to my brothers, my sisters. And for that matter, I speak to my children. Or for those who are employed by me, my employees, do I speak to them in a manner in which, forget making Allah happy, that is something else, but in which I do not break the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our Ustad, Hazrat Mufti Ahmad Khan Puri Sahab, Atalallahu Baqa'a, used to often say this in the Sabak. That you see, when you pick up a phone, and you phone someone, and today is easier for us to understand it with a cell phone, that when I am speaking to the brother right in front of me, and if I decide to do that on a cell phone, that phone is not going to get connected to him directly. But it has to connect to some network, and from that network come down to the brother. Aise hi hamari alfaz bhi hai. This is how we speak. That it is not direct from one tongue to the heart or to the ear of another person. But it goes via the network of Allah. That network may skip that call, may skip recording that call. But Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala does not skip recording the call. So I was saying that in our daily activities all the time, we are breaking the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is what He is bringing to us. That it is compulsory for us to continuously seek forgiveness, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness all the time, make tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all the time. And that is why our mashayikh have expressed to us a very important aspect. In our businesses, we take stock. In our educational environments, we also take some form of stock by way of record keeping, etc. And in every aspect of our lives, we take stock. Let us learn to take stock and make muhasaba and make hisab kitab of ourselves. That from the morning till the next salat, till zuhar or to jum'ah, take a little bit of time. Let us sit down and let us ask ourselves, how much have I obeyed Allah and how much have I disobeyed Allah? If I've obeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in any way whatsoever, let's make shukr to Allah and let's ask Allah for the tawfiq to continue doing good. And if I broke the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then at least let me lift my hands, let me put my head on the ground, let me read two rakat salat, and let me ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness. Brothers, inshallah, in this way, we ourselves will become very aware of how much we are doing for the sake of Allah and how much we break the commandments of Allah. Sometimes we often hear our brothers say, we cannot leave the sin. We cannot leave the disobedience of Allah. Friends, if we cannot leave the disobedience of Allah, let us not leave tawbah. Let us not leave breaking the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then he says that is wajib for us to make tawbah all the time. Second is, the degree of comparison that comes into play here will be aujab. It is more compulsory for us to keep away from guna, to keep away from sin. The other day, perhaps you people may have also received some email like that, of a young person that gave his life for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the lands of Sham, in the lands of Syria, young man. And When somebody got hold of his diary, I'll just give you a few examples. In his diary, he had a list of sins. One list of sin he wrote, just for example, on Monday, I slept without making wudu. And he considered it to be a sin. And this is the important aspect of it. That whatever is recommended by Shariat, we try to adopt it, we try to bring it into our lives, and if we are unable to do so, then at least have some remorse in our hearts. And here was just not going to sleep with wudu, not a farz act, but yet he himself considered it to be a sin. Another sin, just by way of example, was the general, my superior, he made salam to me, and that was regarded as a sin because he beat me to the draw, I didn't make salam first. So this young man considered that to be a sin. In other words, what he realized was that which will gain me closer to Allah Rabbul Izzat, if that was left out, then that is regarded as a sin. The other example, or the other list, the other aspect he had on his list was, yesterday I was unable to finish my 1000 Durood Sharif, Salat ala Nabi, I only reached 700. And like that, the last one that I would remember is that yesterday in the morning, I was unable to make my adhkar. But he regarded this as breaking the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So brothers and friends, as this night draws closer to us, let us also sit down. Let us also perhaps put pen to paper, because we are so used to it, you know. We say a word written is better than 1000 words spoken, and something drawn is better, 1000 times better than something written. So let's get somewhere. Let us try and enlist a few of our gunas and sit down and think about how are we going to leave the sins. How are we going to become more obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? It will vary from person to person. But as this night draws closer and closer, the month of Ramadan draws closer and closer to us, let us all try and not fool ourselves, because we commit gunas, we commit sins from time to time. There are different sins we commit in different areas of our lives. Let us sit down, write them down, and then make tawbah, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for help and assistance, and let us work on it. So inshallah, thumma inshallah, in this manner, the help and the nusrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will come down. We need to understand one important aspect of sins. Our ulama have explained that between us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a road, is a path. And that path between us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has many locked doors. Each door that is locked is a guna, is a sin. A person that is disobedient to his parents, that door is locked and shut between him and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever other gunas and other sins we have, each door locks upon us. And now to reach to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we need to unlock these doors. We need to open these doors. And these are the nights that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. And Allah has given us the keys to these locks. Apart from the ahadith with regards to the night of 15th of Shaban, there is a categoric elan, an announcement, a declaration that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes to all of us all the time on the tongue of our Nabi Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Allah ta'ala says, hadith qudsi, that so long as you are making dua to me, and so long as you are hopeful to me, I will forgive you immaterial of whatever your situation be. Whatever it may be, no matter how great a gunegar, no matter how great a sinner we may be. But the important thing is that we need to seek and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness for those particular gunas that have become barriers between us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah says, wala ubali, I do not care. It doesn't hurt, it doesn't harm Allah Rabbul Izzat to forgive. Allah has forgiven millions and millions of people in the past. People who had declared war with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had forgiven them. There were those who had swords in their hands, wanting to assassinate the Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But when Allah made the faisla and the declaration of hidayat for those people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made them the best of people. That would not harm and hurt Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it shouldn't harm and hurt us that we make istighfar and we seek from Allah Rabbul Izzat. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that if you come with your sins, that will come to the brink of the skies or even to the clouds of the skies. Now brothers, we are not talking about a one-story or a double-story building. But we are talking of buildings that have thousands and hundreds and thousands of stories that will still not reach the sky. And Allah is saying that even if your gunas and your sins reach the sky, and in that state and in that condition, you come with a heart that is remorseful, a heart that is filled of sorrow, a heart that is paining because I have broken the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And with that heart, you say to Allah Rabbul Izzat, that Ya Allah, I will endeavor not to break your commandments in future, but Allah, you help me, undoubtedly the help of Allah will come. If there is no forgiveness, at least the help of Allah will definitely come. And then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that if you come to me, so long as you have not ascribed any partners to me, in other words, you have come in a state of iman, pure and iman with ikhlas and sincerity, you have come to me, and you know what? Brothers, we speak of a bucket filled of water. A bucket full of water. Or we speak sometimes of a tank full of water. Or sometimes we may speak of a dam full of water. But here Allah is speaking of an earth filled with sins. Even if it is one individual, and that individual turns to Allah with ikhlas and sincerity, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I will forgive you. So that is the first aspect that Hasan Basri speaks about, that is very relevant to this occasion of Laylatul Bara'ah, that is relevant to our lives, and every step we take, every breath we take, that remember we have an Allah that is ever ready to forgive us. He doesn't only forgive, He loves to forgive. The second aspect is, He says one is Qareeb. Qareeb, something that is close to your heart. Something that is near and dear to you. And all of us have aspirations. We have different aspirations in our lives. Each one will have some different desire. A young boy may have the aspiration of becoming some professional person or some alim or some mufti. An old person will have different aspirations, maybe for his children to become something. Grandparents will have aspirations for their grandchildren, and here we will have a young bridegroom that will also have aspirations, and may Allah Ta'ala fulfill all their aspirations, both of the bride and the bridegroom and their parents and their families. But he says that all this stays very close to our hearts. But over and above that, he says, Aqrab, even closer to that is our mouth, our death. Somebody explained it in a very beautiful way. They said the day when our ruh latches on to the fetus whilst we are in the wombs of our mothers, then it is as though maut has placed the arrow into the bow. And the day when we as little innocent children come out into this world, then that arrow is shot and that arrow remains behind us. And that is the arrow of death. It will hit us down at the time when Allah Rabbul Izzat has adjudicated and decided that that is the actual time. And in another way, if you look at the hadith of our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, once Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to the home of a sick sahabi, a sahabi that was ill. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went there, and when he goes, he sees Malakul Maut also standing behind the head of that person. So if you do not understand the example of the bow or the arrow, then understand that Malakul Maut is lingering behind
And at the appointed time, He will take our ruh away. So that is closer than all our aspirations, closer than all our desires. Imam Mujahid, rahmatullah alayh, used to sing some ash'ar that reminded him and it reminds us, Ya sakin al qasr al mu'alla, satudfanu an qareebin fit turab, lahu malakun yunadi kulla yawmin, lidu lil maut wabnu lil kharab. Whatever our homes may be, however lofty it may be, or even if it may be in the informal settlements, we call it a jondol, in comparison to the qabr, it is a palace. So he addresses us saying, O dwellers of lofty palaces, satudfanu an qareebin fit turab, in the very near future, all of you and all of us are going to be buried into our qabrs. And that is the reality of it, that every day, like in the hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, 5 times a day, an inspector comes to inspect our lifestyle. What are we doing? Are we in the obedience and itaat of Allah? Or are we in the disobedience of Allah? And that inspector is not from SARS, is not from any government department and not from the health department, but this inspector is Malakul Maut. So, every day this announcement is being made to us, Lidu Lil Maut, that you can procreate. Today there is a marriage, tomorrow there is a child, and then that child grows big and that child gets married, and that is the cycle of life. But here he is drawing our attention to the fact that people are only born to leave this world. This is a journey that we are going through. We all have aspirations insofar as our homes are concerned. We want to have the best of homes. But he says, وَبْنُوا لِلْخَرَابِ, that you can build as much as you want to. All that is going to come down crumbling. There's nothing haram about building. But understand that just like you and I are going to leave this world, everything else is going to crumble. So he brings about an ever awareness in our hearts in different ways that we are mehman. We are only visitors in this world and all of us have to leave this world. And when we realize the shortness of this life and our return to Allah Rabbul Izzat, that we are all going to stand in front of Allah Rabbul Izzat tomorrow on the day of Qiyamah, it's a reality. It's nobody that makes us afraid of it. Allah actually reminds us every salat, every rakat. We say, Maliki Yawmiddin, Allah, you the master of the day of Qiyamah. What do I understand from the master of the day of Qiyamah? The Mawlana or the Apa taught us like that. Sayyidina Ali Karramallahu Wajhahu, on one night he stood up for his tahajjud salat, and he just started his salat. And he came to Maliki Yawmiddin, and he repeated the ayah, and he continued repeating the ayah, till the time of Fajr, till the end of tahajjud time, then he had to very quickly complete that salat. Now what did he understand? When he was speaking about Maliki Yawmiddin, Allah, you are the Malik. Brothers, you see, a magistrate or a judge will have to adjudicate by the constitution of the country. The Qadi and an Islamic court will have to adjudicate according to the Sharia, the Quran and the Hadith and the sayings of the Fuqaha, etc., etc. Even the president will be taken to task if there is something unconstitutional that is passed in a parliament. But here is my Allah that is the owner of the day of Qiyamah. Allah is not the president. Allah is not the judge. Allah is the owner of the day of Qiyamah. You and I, Allah has given us some form of ownership in this world, which in reality is a spaza ownership. It is a superficial ownership. Today is here, tomorrow is not ours. Anfiqu mimma ja'alakum mustakhlafina fi. Allah is saying, spend from that wealth which I have only made you the successor. I have only kept it in your hands as amanat. Thereafter you have to do away with it. So there on the day of Qiyamah we are going to be standing. So this is that mode that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made a reality in our lives. So he says that that is aqrab, and very quickly the other two. One is sa'ab. Sa'ab means something that is difficult. He says to lead your life, without sabr, without perseverance, without endurance. What we will say, a happy-go-lucky life in which we don't have to make much sacrifices. He says that is difficult. But the reality is this, that when you don't have that sabr, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it even more difficult. Because the difficulty of this world is something, and the difficulty of the hereafter is something else. Thabit Bunani rahmatullah alayh, he says that for 20 years, I made so much of mujahada, I endured to such an extent in just performing salat, leave everything else, that for 20 years, my eyes in the first salat in Jamaat did not set sight on the back of another musalli. In other words, for 20 years, I performed salat in the front saf. And then he said, you know what happened for the balance of the 20 years? I had to make a tremendous amount of mujahada, tremendous amount of sabr to leave the salat. I'll give you an example. It's the time of tahajjud, and now the salat started. And now the clock is ticking, and the time of namaz is coming to an end. And now I find it difficult to leave the salat. There was so much of joy in that salat. And in the last, he says, is ajib and ajab. One is something that is strange, and something that is even more strange. Strange is you and I. We see this metamorphosis of life, the cycle of life. We see those who were young when we were young, those that were slightly older than us when we were young, and then those that got very old, and then they left this world. And you and I, even stranger is this, that we do not take heed. Brothers and friends, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, give us the realities of these auspicious nights that come upon us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, give us the tawfiq, not from the Maghrib adhan of tonight, but from now. Let us try and make a mental and a spiritual preparation. It's very easy for us to press the send button and send an email out, or send a WhatsApp message out, or an SMS out to one and all, asking everyone for maaf, and then tomorrow morning everything goes back to normal. Let us introspect. Let us see where we've gone wrong, with whom we have broken up relationships and soured relationships. Let us mend them. Let us understand the kind and the magnitudes of sins that we are breaking the commandments of Allah with. And let us try and make amends, so that when this night dawns upon us, we are prepared for it, and we can lift our hands and ask forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah ta'ala give us the tawfiq.